Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
All right. What is the bravest or boldest thing you have ever done? Question. What is the bravest or boldest thing you have ever done? Had children. Man, why didn't I put that down? Had children. Anybody else? What is the bravest or boldest thing that you have ever done? Bungee jumping. What did you say? Parasailing? We have any... what was that? Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say teaching. Yeah, that would be one too. Well, on August 25th, 2001, I got married. That wasn't the brave part. That was called a no-brainer, all right? I full out knew that I had hit the wife lottery. Any guys agree with hitting the wife lottery? Oh boy. Oh no. Okay, I'm gonna ask what I'm speaking about today, and we're gonna talk about marriage, okay? No, I'm not. But my soon-to-be wife was about to move from the most beautiful city in Canada. Sorry, it's not Comox Courtney, Victoria, BC. To Beaver Lodge, Alberta. Has anybody ever gone to Beaver Lodge, Alberta? Okay, no, amazing people. So when we finished Bible college, we ended up getting a position in Beaver Lodge, Alberta as chaplains in the high school there. And Beaver Lodge was where we'd start our marriage. And Kim had lived in Victoria for her whole life. And here, she was taking this massive step of courage, of bravery. And I wanted to make sure I showed her that I loved her. And I wanted to do something out of the ordinary and do something that I would never do in any other case, in any other situation, and that was to sing a solo at my wedding. Brownie points, right? Now, it scared me to death, and I had great fear that this was something that did not come natural to me. I'm not like a James Fields or a Joel Sedan who, like, serenade to their wife every night, right? with their guitar and their silky smooth voice and just sing every night. I'm not like that. So I thought of a song. And I was trying to think of a song that meant something and a song that I didn't want to, like, have to learn a new song because that would even make this whole situation more awkward. So I picked a Bryan Adams song. Man, you guys are quiet today. What is up here? You guys should be happy. We're in church today, am I right? We're with God's people. Although I'm talking about Bryan Adams, so. So I picked a song, and it was called I'll Always Be Right There. And I don't know if you've heard the song. Do you guys want me to give you a little bit of a tidbit? No, I'm not. There is no way I'm going to do that. No. And as I was preparing for this, I was already living in Beaver Lodge. School had finished in May. And I was going to get married in August. And as I was preparing for this, these thoughts kept on going on in my mind. Are people going to boo me at my own wedding? Are people going to walk out of my wedding? Are my family going to disown me? Are my in-laws, are they going to change their mind in blessing me in giving of their daughter? Or would my wife star in the reality show Runaway Bride? I was going to be up front all by myself in front of 150 to 200 people singing my heart out. And I needed to make sure I focused on Kim, that she was my reason I was taking this step of boldness. Now, I'm sure if Simon Cowell was there, he would probably tear a strip off me. He would probably say, you should never open your mouth again. He would probably ask me, who sings that song? And I would say, Bryan Adams. And he would say, keep it that way. But that day, I made Kim proud, I think. And you could ask her. It would have been a whole lot easier, though, if I was singing with someone else. It would have been a whole lot easier if I was singing with somebody else. Why? Because someone to cover my miscues, my tone deafness, and I can't even clap on beat half the time if you're watching me worship, which you shouldn't watch me worship. You should be worshiping yourself, right? I can't even clap on beat at the best of times. But on the other hand, if I would have had somebody else with me, it would have been kind of strange, right, to have like this dude singing a love song to my wife with me, right? That would have been a little bit strange. And some of you can really relate to the awkwardness of singing. In church, maybe you get right into it, you know, the worship leaders, the band's doing well, you know, you're lifting up your hands a little bit, you're praying, you're like, you know the song, like you listen to it on the message radio or whatever Christian radio, or you have like all the brand new music on Spotify and you're getting right into it and you know what verse is going to be next, right? You're even playing drums on the pews. Come on now, right? This is another reason why we need chairs here. Then what happens is the music fades and you're belting out this song and nobody else is singing. Has that ever happened to anybody? Those are awkward moments. And sometimes that's what it's like to share our faith by ourselves. That's what it's like to share our faith with someone and maybe even telling someone your testimony, your life story, or defending someone who isn't being treated fairly, or telling someone, hey, like I go to church, or reading the Bible in public. Some of those faith steps might be a little bit challenging for you. And we may want to be bold and brave, but it's not always easy to do when we're alone. When the movie Brave came out, who knows the movie Brave? Okay, a few of you, not too many. I was super excited for a few reasons. It was that Disney movie, the girl with the red hair. And number one was I could take my daughter to this movie. And every dad wishes that their daughter will have some sort of boldness and bravery and be able to stand up for what they believe. And especially, you know, when the days come, when boys come knocking on the door, that our daughters are going to make brave decisions and stand up for what they believe. Do I hear amen? The second reason why I like this, it had the word brave. And I love movies about people that are brave, people that are standing up for what they believe, people that can defeat the enemy, right? People that aren't afraid, that fight for injustice, and that aren't scared. And to be like these characters who aren't afraid of anything, can do anything, can defeat evil all by themselves. Brave is endure or face without showing fear. Bold, willingness to take risks and act innovatively, confidence or courage. And there's something about these two words that I desire more in my life. Is anybody with me? Who desires to be more brave, to be more bold in our faith with Jesus? It's easier to be bold and brave when you have someone by your side. Even some of the best superheroes had sidekicks by their side. I ended up working in a church after my first year of Bible college, and it was this place called Surrey CLA, and it was a daughter church of Langley CLA. And I don't know if I've shared this story before. If I have, I apologize. But it's one of those stories that's really impacted my life and kind of prepared me for a life of ministry. I went to this church, and it was a church plant, and one of my tasks was to lead the kids ministry. And I was 18 when I started there, and I was 19 when my birthday is in the summer. And I had grown up in a town of 300 in the Shuswap, Thompson Shuswap, a place called Malaqua. We had 300 people in this town, and the word Malaqua meant the big mosquito. And I'm not even kidding, that's true. There's massive mosquitoes that will eat you alive. Here I am in a big city in this area that was very difficult. And one of my tasks was to get enough kids to have a vacation Bible school. And it was my very first vacation Bible school that I had to lead by myself. Through prayers and encouragements and all these kind of meetings with my supervisors, Mike and Graham, who are legends in the faith, who have done some great work and love people there in Surrey. They encouraged me and they were praying for me. And as I led this team around the Bridgeview area, and Bridgeview area is probably one of the toughest spots in Surrey, if you know of Surrey. And our job was to go door to door. And as we knocked on these doors, we invited kids out. We gave them pamphlets to come attend our day camps. And I remember going to this one door, and I just kept on remembering, okay, people are praying for me right now. Other people have done this before, and they've survived, and they've lived. And there was this one house, and it was like a junkyard. It was a complete, like, junkyard. There was, like, it looked like a used car lot, but, like, cars that wouldn't work. And dogs were barking, and people were screaming in the house, and there was swearing going on. You name it. It was completely uncomfortable. And here's this Malaqua kid who was shell-shocked, right? And I kind of had that kind of inner fight of, like, me not wanting to go to that door, but God saying, I've got you, I'm with you. You know, people have been speaking that into your life where they've encouraged that I'm going to be okay. And I fought that fear, and I ended up going. And as I was getting closer to the door, the yelling got louder as the mom was yelling at their kids and whatever was happening in that house. And as I knocked on the door, I'm just going to give her, right? So I knocked on the door, and this lady answered the door, kind of while screaming at the kids, and she had very little teeth, And I said, hey, I'm Trevor. I'm from Surrey CLA, a church in the area, and we want to invite your kids to come to our camp. It'd be free babysitting for you. And we have a bus that would pick up and drop off. And anyways, their kids attended, which was amazing. And a year later, I'll fast forward a year later, I went to go visit the church. And I got to the door of the church, and the door opened, and it was the lady that I had knocked on at their house. The lady with lack of teeth, the lady that was, there was yelling and all that stuff going on. And she said, Trevor, it's so great to see you. And she said, I'm here because you came and knocked on my door. And it just, I would have never have made this bold and brave step if I didn't have people who believed and encouraged me throughout that journey. It also showed me that God was with me, that there was nothing too small for him, and he had used me in this great way where this family came to know Jesus just because of obedience. We need people in our lives to help us do brave and bold things. Church, don't forget that. We need each other. Students in the schools, you guys need each other. You guys can work together. You guys can help each other out. Neighbors, we're going to be talking a little bit about that later. But we're going to get into some into the Word, all right? You guys excited about the Word? Yeah, let's do it. All right. Daniel 3. So if you can turn with me to Daniel 3. And my title is The More the Merrier. All right, I think you guys know where I'm going with this. Daniel 3 is the story of what? Rakshak and Benny, right? All you VeggieTales fans out there. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I love this story for many reasons. So let's start. King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. That's massive. And set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then he sent messages to the high officers, officials, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the provincial officials to come to the dedication of the statue he had set up. So all these officials came and stood before the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald shouted out, "People of all races, nations, and languages, listen to the king's command. When you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments, bow to the ground to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's gold statue. Anyone who refuses to obey will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So at the sound of the musical instruments, all the people, whatever their race or nation or language, bow to the ground and worship the god of the gold statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. But some of the astrologers went to the king and informed on the Jews that tattletales, that's what we like to call them. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'Long live the king! You issued a decree requiring all the people to bow down and worship the gold statue when they hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and other musical instruments. That decree also states that those who refuse to obey must be thrown into the blazing furnace. But there are some Jews, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, whom you have put in charge of the province of Babylon. They pay no attention to you, your majesty. They refuse to serve your gods and do not worship the gold statue that you have set up.' Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage and ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought before him when they were brought in. Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you refuse to serve my gods or to worship the gold statue I have set up? I will give you one more chance to bow down and worship the statue I have made when you hear the sound of the musical instruments. But if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. And then what god will be able to rescue you from my power? What god will be able to rescue you from my power?'" The nerve of that guy, right? "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us.'" I love that verse. "He will rescue us from your power, your majesty, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was so furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that his face became distorted with rage. He commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times hotter than usual. Then he ordered some of the strongest men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So they tied them up and threw them into the furnace, fully dressed in their pants, turbans, robes, and other garments. And because the king in his anger had demanded such a hot fire in the furnace, just imagine this. The flames killed the soldiers as they threw the 3 men in. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. Let's summarize here. King Nebuchadnezzar built a statue. Whoever didn't worship it would be thrown into the fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego didn't bow down to it, even if it meant dying. They stayed true to God, and they were thrown into the fire. And like I said before, I love verses 17 and 18. It says, "If we are thrown into the furnace, the God we serve is able to save us. The God I serve is able to save us." This morning, Do we have furnaces in our life? Do we have furnaces in our life, things that we're dealing with? I really felt this peace as we were praying this morning, that I felt God's, like, God's always with us, for sure. This morning, I felt a peace. And I've been a little bit nervous and all that stuff, and, you know, I think that's normal for preachers. And even in this, even, you know, setting up for, you know, as we're praying, because we want God to be the center of whatever we do here in our church and in our services. We want it to be Holy Spirit led. And I felt a peace. There's a peace here tonight, today. That no matter what furnace that we're going through, that God is able to save our marriage. That might relate to you today. That God, the God you serve, is able to save your finances. The God you serve will be able to help your addictions. Do I hear amen here? That the God you serve will be able to help sickness. Our marriages, our finances, addictions, whatever we're facing, that the God we serve is able to save whatever we're facing today. I love the fact that we're not in this alone. I love the fact that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were not alone. This story always puts the men together, never individually. They were able to do this as strong as they did because they had each other to encourage, to strengthen, to build up, to even worship and even pray for each other, to worship together. And as I look and I think about church, the body of Christ, don't you think it should be like that? Where we can build each other up, where we can pray for each other, where we can send each other a text during the week. Hey, how are you doing? You know, that we can actually be a family. And I get it. There's always that family member that can rub us the wrong way, right? But we need to be a church body that loves each other, that cares for each other. And I know for myself, I could do that better. Could be having people over. It could be reaching out to somebody that's lonely. You know, we've got a lot of people that are really gifted in hospitality here in the church. I really appreciate them. We need to make sure we stick together, that we don't backbite, that we don't gossip, that we don't slander, but we're here to build up, that we're here to care for each other. It's easier to be bold together. I love thinking about possible dialogue that's happening in Scripture and throughout these stories. Like, could you imagine Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What's actually going on? What, you know, we know they took this big stance, but like, what do you, like, have you ever thought about, like, the dialogue? You know, maybe Shadrach's going through a down moment. He's like, I don't know about this. I don't know if I could do this, guys. How about if we just bow down and we just pray to God? I don't know if that's what he's thinking, but I'm just trying to think of, like, you know, they must have needed some encouragement with each other. And Meshach's like, no, we need to be strong. And God would know. God would know. And God will take care of us. And Abednego's like, we are doing this together. Let's do this. Right? How many times in your life has someone else helped you along the way? We need people like that, that will help us along the way. My friend, she lives in the mainland, and I'm going to call her C, because that's what her name starts with. And C is one of those people that I've looked up to for years. And it's funny because even when I'm having a rough day, you know, like, we all have rough days. We all have things that kind of happen. And and sometimes we just get kind of frustrated. Who's with me? Who's with me? Come on. Come on. Right? And C, I always seem to get a text message from her. And it normally goes like this. It says, "Hey, Trevor, God's placed you on my heart today, and I'm praying for you." It's actually uncanny how God can use other people to like that. That's how I find that God speaks to me a lot through other people. And I really appreciate how people are obedient and honest with those things. I don't know if that happens to you. My mom seems to do that a lot too. She always has like prophetic words for me, and it's just amazing. Amazing to hear what God's kind of been speaking to her about her kids. Instantly, I feel better because that's not only my friend encouraging me, it's God. God loves me. God cares for me. That he's using other people to speak into my life. The timing is uncanny. So I've been trying, if God places somebody on my heart, that I can send them a message and even just like little thank yous or things that just encouraging notes. Hey, you'll do great today, or you know, something happens. It's good to build each other up. Who are those people in your life? Who are those people in your life? We need to surround yourself with those people. I'm guessing each of these guys had moments of doubt. But based on how the story turns out, I'm also guessing that when one person doubted, the others were there to encourage. God is faithful. It's all going to be worth it. To God be the glory. Following Jesus with friends is easier. Following Jesus with friends is easier, period. Daniel 24:30. But suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, "Didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace?" "Yes, your majesty, we certainly did," they replied. "Look," Nebuchadnezzar shouted, "I see four men unbound, walking around the fire unharmed, and the fourth looks like a god." Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God." Well, his terms have sure changed, right? "Servants of the Most High God, come out, come out. To God be the glory." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Then the high officers, officials, governors, and advisors crowded around them and saw that the fire had not even touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed, and their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell of smoke. I've had campfires, and have you ever left your windows open during a campfire, and your house like smells like smoke? Could you imagine they're in the fire and they don't even smell of smoke? Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him. They defied the king's commands and were willing to die rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make this decree. If any people, whatever their race or nation or language, speak a word against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they will be torn limb from limb. And their houses will be turned into heaps of rubble. There is no God who can rescue like this." There is no God who can rescue like this, no matter what furnace that we're facing today. God will be with us. To summarize, there was someone else in the furnace. God was with them. Even though this wasn't easy for them to stand firm, it was much easier to do together. And I don't even think any of these men would say that it was easy to take a stand this bold, but I think we would all agree it was better that they were all together. And as I've been preparing this message throughout the last while, I've really had the thoughts, and I'm getting close to being finished. I've really had the thoughts about Monday to Saturday. And how do Monday and Saturday look in my life? In my context, in my family's life? Reggie McNeil, author of Missional Communities, this book I've been reading, it's called The Missional Church Acknowledges Both Dimensions of Redemption, Speaking the Truth in Love, combines the two as one action, inseparable. We do not truly serve people if we withhold from them the truth about their condition and the hope that Jesus offers. I want to read that again. We do not truly serve people if we withhold from them the truth about their condition and the hope that Jesus offers. However, people will not hear a message of love delivered by angry people through bullhorns and loudspeakers announcing judgment. Redemption is a message that must be delivered by us on our knees with a towel and basin. Acts of sacrifice and service will inevitably spark interest and lead to conversation. This is why followers of Jesus must be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. Doing good sets a stage for God conversations with others, and followers must not shrink back from those opportunities. Is that a good quote? I was really challenged by that quote. So I asked myself, how can I be more intentional about my faith? Am I offering this hope that I talk about even with our students? Am I practicing what I'm preaching? Am I offering hope to people? And what communities am I a part of during the week? So I brought this up. Actually, I didn't. Evan did. And I've been thinking about what communities I'm a part of during the week. And as I write these things down, I want you to think about how your life actually would look on this board. So we're going to start. By the way, my wife's not here today because she works graveyard shifts at the hospital. So in the middle, I'm going to put Trevor and Kim. And I'm thinking back of, I'm thinking during the week, what are the communities that I'm a part of? Church. Okay, before I move on from here, I love how Jacob said, what's the boldest thing you've done is have kids, right? And as a couple, my wife and I, we are parenting our kids together. That's a mission field at home. We're doing the best to raise our kids in a godly home. We're doing our best to raise our kids. Does it look perfect? No, not at all. But we do the best we can. It's a lot of it's trial and error. We notice things that are working well. We notice things that we need to change, and both our kids are so different, and we can talk to them in a different way. Are you guys relating to this, right? Our family, that's our community. Our church, you know, we've got Pastor Chad, we've got Kyla in our staff. We've got Claire and Sandy, and each of our staff members have such great talents, and we're all so different. And I really appreciate our staff. You might know maybe some of the staff better than other staff members, but it's awesome to see on a Monday what everybody, you know, you kind of see their giftings and their hearts, and you know, you see them all during the week with all that stuff too. But in our staff meetings, even on Monday, I was going through kind of a challenging moment. We had just purchased a new to us vehicle. It was quite old, you know. It was a 2009 vehicle, and we've had it for like 2.5 weeks, and it's broken down on us many times. And I was just, my wife and I were just to this point on Monday where we just didn't know what to do. And my wife's like, I'm just going to take it, and I'm going to take it to Nanaimo, and I'm going to take it back. And she just kind of had enough of that, and my mind and my heart was full. And I just said in the staff meeting, I'm like, I'm just having a hard time. And it was great because like Claire prayed, and then Pastor Chad prayed. And I just felt like this peace that God was going to take care of us. You know, so this is a community that I get to be a part of. And I think, oh, some people can't see. Okay, sorry. Thank you. I picked the orange one. So church. So like I said, I have our staff to be with us, right? And I have you guys as well. I think of our youth, right? Our youth ministry that meets on Wednesday, and if you're not a part of our youth group and you're a teenager, grade 6 to grade 12, I have Brooke, Sheila, Jackie, Kaylin, Evan, Daniela, Kelsey, Cassia, Julia, and Kim, and they are partnering up with me for our youth ministry. And I'm very thankful for them because, like our staff, they've got different talents, they've got different giftings, and some of our students will relate to different leaders, and that's cool. It doesn't always have to be me. We've got a multitude of leaders that they're amazing people who give up their time to hang out with students. I think of our neighborhood. Sorry, I've got really messy writing. But I think of our neighbors. And I love my neighbors. And if you follow me on Facebook, my favorite neighbor came to my came to my yard as I was sitting, kind of preparing for today. And our neighbors have like a wiener dog, and his name is Winston. I love Winston, and I love their Winston's owners as well. And I'm always talking with them. They actually call me, our neighbors call me Wilson, you know, like off Home Improvement, because we're always talking over the fence. And it's really funny. So like, you know, this couple from Victoria, and I've got a huge heart for our neighbors. And I was really thinking about this. How am I doing this proactive where maybe I can introduce them to other people that know Jesus. So I invited we went out with the Sedans and the Johnstons, and we went out to Kelly O'Brien's on Friday night, and you know, he's a sailor, Josiah's a sailor. So you try to think of these ways that people can relate to other people, my neighbor, he loves fixing small engines, and I was given this mower that I'm convinced I'm gonna fix, and he said, oh hey, I'll help you with that. And I'm like, great. Like, I don't really have a good knowledge of it, but I was just going to, you know, wing it and see if I could do it. And, yeah, so he's going to help me fix my mower. These are just ideas. I'm not trying to, you know, boost my ego or whatever, but, you know, our neighbors, our mission field, right? And Kim and I, we're doing this together. And I was thinking, as I was talking to my neighbor, his wife was actually talking to the neighbor next to them, and I don't know the neighbor next to them. So I'm like, hey, I think we need to do like a block party or a barbecue or something towards that line. I think of my kids' sports, you know, gymnastics and basketball for my kids. How can I make more of a difference? Even with my kids' sports. You know, I coach at Highland, but that's not going on right now. But my son's in run. It's called Run and Gun at Vanier School, and my daughter's in gymnastics. And how can we make more of a difference, even when we're talking to the teachers and whatever, right? And so Payette's and the Petersons, who aren't here today, but our kids are all in this gymnastics class. So how can we make a little bit more of a difference and show that there's something different about us because we have Jesus in us? I think of my floor hockey team. And I joined this hockey team with Aaron Thompson, who's now moved, which I'm still upset about. But so hockey team, I've actually had some great opportunities where I'm like, hey, we should go for breakfast, get to know each other, and this guy's like, oh, I'm from West Kelowna, where you know I kind of moved from the Okanagan as well. So we've been striking up conversations, and his students, he takes students that international students, and they've been coming to our youth. So there's been some really cool opportunities where you know we've kind of been proactive, and I'm sharing about who I am, and you know I hope this is kind of an inspiration for you guys that you take this and how do we model that even as a family? What would yours look like? What would your board look like? Your board might look a lot busier than mine. But God created us to be relational. We are built for relationships. We are to live a life of mission because we've got something that the world can use, that the world can have. We've got hope because of Jesus. We need to be around others who will cheer us on, encourage us, challenge us, but we also need to do that for others. Who do you surround yourself with? How are you going to be more bold and brave about your faith? This may ruffle a few feathers, all right? This may ruffle a few feathers, but instead of inviting somebody to church, tell them why you go to church. Tell them why you have a relationship with Jesus. Tell them your testimony. And nobody can argue about your testimony, about God, the transformation that God's done in your life. Nobody can argue with that. Do you guys agree? Try saying those things and just say, hey, if you want to come to church, that'd be great. Love to have you. Be bold. Be brave. I am so thankful for Jesus in my life and what he's done for you and I. Communion is an integral part of Christian worship. It causes us to remember our Lord's death and resurrection and to look for his glorious return in the near future. Jesus defeating death should be in the forefront of our minds, not just something we think about once a month. In 1 Corinthians 11:28, Paul tells us that it is always good to examine yourself before the eating of the bread and drinking of the cup. Why don't we just take a few moments to do that before we disperse the emblems? Do we have a right heart this morning?
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.